Getting very clear about who makes an ideal client for your business is essential. But the same is true when it comes to referrals. And that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast, where we welcome Michael Ford. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz. My guest today is Michael Port. He's a return guest, author, speaker, consultant, trainer, author of four books, including Book Yourself Solid, a book that has probably become a standard, really, for professional service providers and marketers. He's got a new edition of that coming out that's pretty cool. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk a lot about referrals today. So, Michael, thanks for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
So let's do talk about that new edition of Book Yourself Solid, because it's really a cool project. I mean, it's not your typical add 10,000 new words because you need to talk about Twitter and update the update the volume. You did something really, I think, kind of revolutionary with it.
Well, you know, I hope so. At least it is for me, certainly, and I hope it will be for my readers. You know, you mentioned it's funny, you know, the second edition of Book Yourself Solid was exactly that. I had to do a new edition because technology had changed so much. So that's just what that was. But in this new version, I've cut two-thirds of the words and instead have illustrated all of the concepts so that you can look at it and get it. So the book is 471 pages, but you can read it in an hour and a half. So it's a faster way to consume what I've been teaching for years, but it comes in a bigger package. So hopefully it's easier. And, you know, for me it's revolutionary because I'm finding another way to help the people that I serve, as I said, consume this in a different style, a different format. And I think that's, you know, something that entrepreneurs should always consider is how do you continue to reconfigure what you've created so that you can continue to reach more people who have different styles of behavior, different styles of learning, like different experiences in their education process. And so I hope that, you know, it serves people that, heretofore haven't been, you know, able to access the Book Yourself Solid system, and maybe they'll be able to now.
Well, and I think that's a great point about different learning styles. I mean, I can't tell you how many people, when some of my books have come out, and sometimes the audiobook lags, you know, the release date, and you know, they're kind of like, hey, I'm gonna get your book, but I just do audiobooks, you know,
I think that's
so true, and it'll be really interesting to see if this makes the work more meaningful to a lot of people too, because I look at the growth of some of these visually oriented sites like Pinterest and the stuff people are sharing on Facebook, and I think that we're kind of in this era of, you know, show me the pictures.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, that's exactly when I look at my my stream in Facebook, I'm really looking for pictures.
Yep.
You know, and my friends are posting cool pictures about their life, and that's what I'm commenting on and liking. But otherwise, you know, I just don't have time to pay attention to all that stuff that's flowing through. It's just complete information overload.
Well, and what happens, I think, with a picture a lot of times is it grabs you, you know, because you scan. And I watch my kids do this on Pinterest, and they just are like scanning, and then boom, oh, what's that?
Yep.
Something catches their attention, and then they dive in. And then and then you can sell them, I mean, then you can sell them 1,000 words, you know, but it was that thing that grabbed them that was great. So obviously with all of that, you know, illustration and, you know, the work that had to be done on it, this turned into, you know, this is not 204 page book now. It's I think you were telling me it's 400 plus now, right?
Yes, 471 was, you know, the last count. We'll see, you know, with front and back matter what it actually comes out to be. But it's going to be a big book. It's really, I think, a coaching program in a book so that, you know, the publishing model is changing, and I don't you know, proclaim to be an expert in the future of publishing. But at least for me in this project, I really try to create something that doesn't exist, period. In our marketplace, there's nothing like it for small business service professionals. And as a result, hopefully, I can offer a product, even though it's at a higher price point than a typical book, people will really want to take advantage of, because it just won't be like another printed book that comes out. And, you know, I'll write more of those, no doubt. You know, there's huge value in that as well. But again, different learning styles compel, you know, different people to buy different types of products. And so that's, you know, that's what I hope it is. I hope it's I hope that more is actually more now. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to less is more.
Well, and we are sitting here recording this actually early in January of 2013. When will the book be available?
April
of 2013.
Yeah,
okay.
2013. Yeah. Yeah.
You never know when people are going to actually tune into these shows, so I always like to be clear about those dates. Let's move to referrals. I've started, one of the things I'm doing for 2013 is really trying to give my followers, listeners, readers a monthly theme. And the monthly theme for January 2013 is referrals. So I'm doing, I had Bob Berg on last show. Bill Cates will be on. Yeah, Bill Cates will be on the following show. So really giving people, and obviously I put you in this group, a high level education on this subject of referrals. One thing that, and I've written a book about referrals, and so I talk about referrals a lot, and the one thing that always comes up, just never fails, is that you have people that acknowledge that, yes, generating referrals or business by way of referrals is a really good, profitable, healthy thing to do, but I just don't feel comfortable doing it. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that idea of what holds people back from doing that.
From trying to get more referrals?
Yeah, making that a systematic part of how they do business.
Sure. Well, first let me say that if anybody hasn't read your book on referrals, they must read it. I mean, I think this is really, you know, I think you're the expert in this area. I think this is, you know, something you do extremely well. So, you know, whatever I can add hopefully will be a bonus. But I'm sure we are both on the same page that nobody's ever going to refer to you unless they think you're fantastic, period.
Right.
So for me, the model of trying to pay for referrals has never been interesting or attractive. When I, you know, years ago, I had, you know, affiliate salespeople, so to speak, you know, maybe 3,500 of them or something. And if I released an online product or program, then they would promote it and, you know, they'd get a commission and then maybe I would sell more. And what I found over time was that only about 10% of that group of 3,500 people actually produced anything. And when I started talking to that 10% and trying to figure out a little bit more about what made them tick and why they did what they did, 95% of them, first thing they said is, oh, I just think your stuff is awesome.
Right.
And so what about the money part? They said, well, I like getting, you know, extra checks, but I mean, frankly, the matter is, you know, I'd promote you even if I wasn't getting the checks. And so, you know, I completely moved away from that whole, you know, affiliate concept. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, but for me personally, it just didn't resonate anymore. And as a result, I started focusing on internal referrals much more significantly than meaning from actual clients than people who were on the periphery who wanted some association because maybe they'll make a couple bucks. And that was the, you know, that 90% of that group. And so, look, sometimes people are afraid to give a referral because they, you know, fear, well, what if it doesn't work out well? Is that negative experience going to be associated with me? It's sort of like, you know, same thing. People, I don't want to introduce these two people because what if, you know, for like a romantic thing, what if they don't like each other? Or if they get married and 10 years later they get divorced, they're going to hate me for it, right? I never really took that approach. I always think that, you know, you try to connect people in whatever way you can and add as much value as you can. And if they like each other, they do. And if they don't, they don't. That's not your responsibility. They're adults. But there certainly are people who are concerned, afraid to make referrals. So what happens sometimes to those of us that need referrals is we fear that other people will be thinking like that, that the majority of people will be too afraid to make a referral and as a result won't. Or we're afraid that, well, if I ask for the referral and they say no or they don't give me referrals, it's because they don't like me, and then I'll feel rejected. Or we don't want to put somebody in an uncomfortable position of feeling obligated in some way to refer to us. And these are all good instincts to have, because we don't want anybody to feel obligated. We don't want somebody to give a referral if they're not comfortable giving a referral. But the majority of people who like us want to refer to us because it there's a value in it for them. Most of us give referrals because it makes us feel good about ourselves. So if I say, John, you're going to be in New York, you have to go to this restaurant. This is the best. You want pizza, this is the best pizza in New York. Don't even think about going anywhere. This is it. Okay? Now, of course, I'm expressing my values. And I'm assuming, well, John, you're going to have the same values in pizza. Okay? Now, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But I believe so strongly in this pizza place, and I like you so much that I really want you to have the same kind of great experience that I have. And then when you go there and you then call me up and say, Michael, I went to the pizza place, dude, it rocked. You are so right. That was the best pizza I ever had. Well, then I feel validated. I feel good about myself. I feel like, you know what? I'm hip. I'm with it. I know what's good. And certainly I want you to have the experience, but there's also that value that I get from it. And I think that there are certain people who are more inclined to be like that than others. I mean, you know, Malcolm Gladwell calls them the connectors and the tipping point.
Yeah, right.
So they naturally want to connect people because it makes them feel really good, and some people may be less inclined. So certainly we want to do our best to try to identify who those connectors are. Who are the people around you that are always talking about something great? Who are the people that are constantly using the social media tools to talk about the things that they love? Those are the kind of people who are generally going to send you the most referrals.
Yeah, and it's funny, yeah. But that can be reason enough to start monitoring your customers and your network on you know, a Twitter list or something. Even if you don't want to play on Twitter, it's one of the great ways to figure out who those connectors are. You're right.
And that's exactly what we do. Now, we can't do it with every single reader or newsletter subscriber, obviously, but we do it with, A, the people who buy from us, our actual clients and customers, and the people who come to the or take advantage of the free stuff that we offer, the people who do it the most. You know, there may be somebody who has come to 20 free calls I've done over the last 2 years, never bought anything, but obviously they're very connected to us. And sometimes most referrals come from them. They just never end up buying for whatever reason. But they love to send people to you because they find value in you as well. So we do our best to monitor the social activity of those people. And so as a result, we try to do a lot of internal referral work by creating opportunities for the people that we already serve to bring the people that they know and get them involved in our world. We don't pay for it. We don't offer commissions. You know, we'll send a gift of a thank you if somebody sends a referral, of course. We'll try to do things to make that person, you know, to know that how much we appreciate that person and, you know, what they've done for us. But we don't buy it, also because we want to make sure that anybody that comes to us knows that someone wasn't paid for that introduction. But we do something that we call an always have something to invite people to offer. And we actually do a few of these. We do them for the different programs that I offer. And it's a free call that we do every single week. And each week we bring a different topic that we feel is relevant to the audience that we serve. And it's free, it always will be. And we don't do any selling on the calls. We want to really make them a very value-rich, community-oriented experience. And we encourage people to bring their friends to these calls. And we find a significant percentage of the people who come and join our programs come through those calls.
Well, yeah, it's what is really such a huge element of referrals is trust. I mean, it's a huge element in buying from somebody, you know, as well. Yeah. But trust is such a huge element. And I think that a lot of people misunderstand the value of those calls that you're talking about. It's a great series. You've been doing it a long time. And I'm sure that people come to those and go, wow, that was really valuable. That person they had on today really knew what they were talking about. And I think that's become such an essential element.
What's actually a little bit different, what we do is we don't generally bring guests. So either I'll lead it or, you know, the head of my school of coach training will lead it or one of my top coaches will lead it. Somebody on my team who is really good at what they do, very charismatic and very service-oriented, and they'll bring a topic and they'll speak to it for about 10, 15 minutes and then open up for discussion.
Yeah.
Questions, coaching, opinions from the people in that experience, because we want them to feel a part of that experience, not just a consumer of that experience. And as a result, they feel like they're part of an environment where they have the opportunity to stand for something, to speak, that their voice is heard. And when you like that kind of environment and you're new to that, let's say a friend brought you, and you get to hear the other people or even see the other people if it's live, you go, wow, I like these people. I can relate to these people. If I relate to these people, then this is probably the right place for me, and I would relate to the person who is leading this.
Yeah, I'll bet that you've, over the years, I know I've experienced this, you're in a lot of ways, you're enabling an entire community. And so those folks, even if you get people on there that they just, what you do is not right for them. They, you know, they work for a company, they don't need coaching or they couldn't pay for coaching. They're getting such a great experience that it's what they then go out and talk to their friends about and start saying, hey, I know three people that just absolutely ought to be on these. I get those kinds of responses all the time. And I think that you really have to pay attention to that broader community that generates referrals for you. I think a lot of times we really tend to think about the customer. What, you know, who do you know that you could refer to me? And I think it's this broader community that sees us on Facebook, that sees, you know, I was talking to Bob Berg about this. You know, he is so publicly, you know, referring people and introducing people.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people probably just see that and think, wow, you know, he really does what he says. And I think that's a huge part of this. Let me ask you this. I know that you do a lot of coaching with professional service providers and I know that in many cases they are sitting across the desk from an individual or a customer or a prospect and really sometimes struggle with, you know, how do I frame this, you know, asking for a referral? Do you have any specific advice other than, because, you know, so many people just go, know anybody who needs, you know, what I do? and of course, the person scratches their head and says, well, I know 10,000 people. I can't think of one that needs what you do. Do you have any advice on kind of framing that so that you help the person, you position it as a value to them? I mean, because I think a lot of times that's where people struggle. They think, oh, I'm just begging them for business, but you really can turn that around and actually make it something valuable to them.
Sure. Yes. So what we do is we try to create opportunities and experiences that are specifically designed for our clients, friends, and colleagues. So they have something to invite those people to. And we don't do any selling at those events. That's really important, because the last thing we would ever want our clients to think is that we were somehow trying to exploit them for new business as our primary objective. Like, you know, oftentimes you'll call up a business and the first thing they say to you when you call up is, so how'd you hear of us? It's a really important question that we need to ask, but I don't lead with that question. That's not the important thing. The important thing is, what can we do to be of service to you? Because the other question is a marketing question. I want to know how you got to us so that I can do more marketing in that place. And often the immediate feeling is, oh, they just want to get more business if they learn that. So we want to make sure that none of our clients feel that they're being exploited in any way. And so instead of saying, hey, you know, is there somebody you could refer to us? And then there's this sort of like how, where, why. I think it's really important to give them a really easy way to do it so they know how to do it. And as a result, it's much easier for them too. So that's why these kinds of events that we do make it a lot easier for people to mingle with us, to mix with us, and they're brought as guests.
Yeah, you're effectively giving them something tangible to give away that has value. That's not like, oh, here, read this brochure and call this guy. I think that that's an important element.
One of the primary principles of my Book Yourself Solid system is the red velvet rope policy.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you specifically about that. I know that's something that's a key ingredient for you.
Yeah, it's actually the first thing I teach in Book Yourself Solid. And sometimes it's funny because people say, it sounds like you're trying to tell me to dump certain clients and say no to clients. I thought this is a book about getting clients. I don't get it, right? but I think that, if you've got your own business, right, you got to be choosing the people you work with. I mean, this is just, otherwise, I don't know what the point is, right? Otherwise, work somewhere else and be forced to work with the people that, hire that company. But this is your life we're talking about. And I think, to dodge this this idea of a red velvet rope policy, is out of integrity for you and for the people that you serve, because you should be working with the people with whom you do your best work. And that's what a red velvet rope policy is. It's a filtration system. So you only work with people that energize you, that inspire you, and then most importantly, allow you to do your best work. Because what happens when you're doing your best work? Two things. Number one, people around the world talking about your best work. And number two, you love every minute of the work you do, so you want to do more of it. And the relationships you develop with your clients are of significance, of meaning. And the people that they will bring are going to be like them, and those people are likely to also get past the red velvet rope. But these kinds of opportunities that you're creating for colleagues and friends of the people that you already serve, they're essentially red velvet rope events. You're saying to the client, the person who's a guest realizes, wow, I'm getting past the red velvet rope here. That's kind of cool. I like that. And because I know so-and-so, because so-and-so is associated with Michael or with John or whomever, and everybody feels value all around. Everybody feels somehow a little more appreciated and a little more popular than they did the day before.
Well, and I think that, so many small businesses that I deal with, this idea of just trying to be all things to all people, what it ends up doing is attracting clients that aren't ideal. And how many of those clients turn into detractors? It's not even the damage that it does in terms of, running you around, maybe being less profitable, all those kinds of things. In many cases, you're creating detractors by trying to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they sign up for something, they buy something, and then they're angry at you for giving them what you said you were going to give them because they wanted something else entirely.
Yeah.
So, you say, well, how am I supposed to make you happy if you knew what I said I was going to give you? And I gave it to you, but you wanted something else. And so that we never want to put ourselves in that situation if we can help it. And so I believe that the red velvet rope policy should be front and center. All of your marketing materials should be incredibly clear about who you serve, what you help them do, the values of the people that you serve, the ways of being that you... So, for example, in one of my programs, there's a whole page that says, it's about is this for you kind of thing. And it's not about like, well, if you have this much money or, this is going on in your business. It's about who they are as people. So, I always say, look, if you're an opportunity seeker, this is not the place for you, period. And if you think one, big scheme is going to make you your $1 billion, then it's not for you. If you're a dabbler, you do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, not for you. God bless you, but we're in pursuit of mastery. And if that's who you are, then this is the place for you. If you're a real person doing real work who wants to get real results, this is the place for you. So it's this real strong willingness to be very bold about who you serve, to to be incredibly clear, to try to push away the people that you do not want to serve. And that helps with your referral process as well, because you're demonstrating, you're articulating to the people who can send you referrals who they should be sending to you.
Right. Yeah, that's the only complaint sometimes you hear with this idea of referrals is people say, oh, yeah, you know, I ask all my clients for referrals, and then I get a bunch of people that I don't want to work with that aren't the right for me. And as you just said, a lot of it's because you haven't – maybe you don't know who that is, but you certainly haven't articulated it, communicated. And so it is a great – I mean, I always tell people you have to be able to answer this question very clear. You know, how would I spot your ideal client? And when you get clear about that, it just makes the whole referral process a lot easier. I mean, I know people that will actually then, by taking that approach, be able to say, you know, these five people, literally by name, I would love to do business with because they're ideal clients. Do you know them? And boy, if you either know them or you don't, or you can introduce them or you can't, but it sure makes the process a lot easier.
That kind of specificity is very attractive. It makes people comfortable. So here's another thing that makes people want to refer to you more, makes them more comfortable, is knowing that you're going to have the time for this referral. A lot of people who are in service-based professions are often busy, and that's good. But we still need more clients. We need a regular stream of new potential opportunities. But if we spend a lot of time talking about how busy we are, and our clients hear that, and they think, well, you know, Faye and Michael's really so busy, he's kind of overwhelmed with his busyness. I don't want to send another person to him, A, because I don't want to overwhelm him more, but B, most importantly, you know, if I send somebody to him, is that person really going to get the kind of attention that I would expect them to get, I would want them to get? So, you know, just be careful, guys. You know, those of you who are listening to this, you know, be careful when you're in front of your client to talk about how busy you are and how tired you are and how much you're running. I mean, first of all, it's just not attractive. Right? But second of all, it's going to reduce the number of referrals you get because they say, well, why would I send a referral? A, you know, he doesn't need them. Or B, he's not going to have time to take care of them because he's so busy.
Yeah, I actually even advise people I totally agree with that point, but I also advise people to say, and when you give us a referral, you know, here's what we do. You know, we'll invite them to this event, we'll send them this. You know, I think sometimes you put people's minds at ease that you're not going to just, you know, spam them or you're not going to do, you know, a bunch of crazy things. Because, we talked about trust being such a key element. I think the thing sometimes people forget in this topic of referrals is that you are loaning trust or people are borrowing trust, you know, when somebody's making an introduction. And I think you have to do everything you can to allay any fears that would go bad.
Well, to your point about being incredibly clear about how you're going to behave with this potential new client is really important. And if you have behaved in that same way with the client that you already have who's making the referral, then they will believe you will do what you say you're going to do.
A little easier sell.
So that's first and foremost, but it's also helpful to remind the client of how your relationship developed with them and that you will, you know, attempt to develop a relationship in the same way because you may have, you know, it may have been a long time since, you know, you first met them and maybe they don't remember exactly how you went about it. And so that same philosophy applies to trying to make referral partners, meaning people you do not know yet. So let's say I saw that you knew somebody that I wanted to meet, and I say, hey, John, I would love to meet so-and-so because of this. Would you be willing to make an introduction? If you do, this is exactly how I'm going to handle it. Right. This is what I'm going to say to them, this is what I'm going to tell them, and this is what I'm going to do. Because this way you'll know, and you'll feel comfortable. And this is, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time networking, which is great. And they usually think of networking as to try to get clients, right? I'm going to go network and try to get some clients. And I don't think we spend enough time developing relationships with the people who we do not yet know but could have a positive influence on our business, opening doors. If you want to get booked to speak, get booked to speak. Book to write. They may be people who could introduce us to potential clients, so they may be potential referral partners. And we need to spend each day meeting somebody who we do not yet know, but we believe would have a positive influence on our business. And then making sure that we're developing a long-term relationship with them, not asking for anything from them when you first meet them, because it's not appropriate. You haven't earned the trust. All offers that we make, all sales offers, and anytime you meet somebody and ask for a referral, that's a sales offer, must be proportionate to the amount of trust that we've earned. So this goes for clients that you're making sales offers to, potential clients, and potential referral partners, colleagues who you'd like to develop relationship with, where maybe you can ask for things. But you're going to ask for those things later when you've earned enough trust to ask for those things.
Yep. Talking with Michael Port, he is the author of Book Yourself Solid. There's going to be a new incredible version of that out in the spring of 2013. And Michael, where can people find out more than they would ever want to know about you?
MichaelPort.com. It is a pathway to all things that I can do to help be of service to you.
All right, Michael, thanks so much for joining us today, and hopefully we'll see you out there on the road.
Thanks so much. You're the best.